Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, a multi-part story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 14.
After raising Lazarus, Jesus withdrew to a village called Ephraim near the wilderness. As Passover approached, we headed back toward Jerusalem, the air thick with anticipation, the Passover crowd swelling like a river about to burst its banks. We'd reached Bethphage and Bethany, resting on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, when Jesus, with a quiet authority, sent Peter and James ahead.
"You'll find a donkey and her colt tied there. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, say, 'The Lord needs them.'"
And so they went, and just as he'd said, there they were. When they brought the animals back, Jesus mounted the colt, a young, unbroken thing. It was a strange sight. A king riding not a war horse, but a simple donkey. Yet, as we descended the mount towards the city gates, the crowds began to gather. They'd heard of Lazarus, of how Jesus had called him back from the dead. That miracle had spread like wildfire. And as Jesus rode, they laid down their cloaks, cut branches from the palm trees, and waved them in the air, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was a scene unlike any I'd ever witnessed. A king's welcome, yet so different from what anyone expected. We knew the scriptures, of course, the prophecy of Zechariah. "Your king is coming to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." But to see it unfold before our eyes, to witness the people's fervent, if fleeting, praise, it was both exhilarating and unsettling. We were riding into Jerusalem, into destiny, and none of us fully grasped what awaited us there. The next day, Jesus stormed into the temple, overturning tables and driving out the merchants. It was another display of righteous anger, directed at those who continued to defile God's house. The religious leaders were furious. They saw him as a direct threat. Each day, they tried to trap him with their questions, their twisted interpretations of the law. Jesus, though, always had an answer, sharp and clear, leaving them speechless. He spoke of his hour approaching, of being lifted up, and of a new commandment, to love one another. These words hung heavy in the air, a sense of foreboding that none of us could fully shape. On the night before Passover, we gathered in an upper room that had been prepared for us. None of us knew it would be our last meal together before everything changed.
"You found a good place, John. Private, away from prying eyes."
Jesus was specific about what to look for. It's as if he had arranged it all beforehand.
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer."
"Suffer? Master, what do you mean?"
Instead of answering directly, Jesus began to remove his outer garment. We watched, puzzled, as he poured water into a basin and wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he knelt before Andrew and began washing his feet. We were shocked into silence. Andrew looked uncomfortable, but allowed it. Jesus moved to the next disciple, continuing the washing.
"Lord, are you going to wash my feet?"
"You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand."
"No, you shall never wash my feet."
"Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
"Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well."
"Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you."
He could calm the raging sea, speak and set the prisoner free. He touched the leper's broken skin and made the outcast whole again. He wore no crown upon his brow, no robe of silk, no basin, not a blade. where kings were praised. He is the servant of all, the highest who chose to fall. The hands that shaped the morning skies now wipe the tears from weeping eyes. He took the towel, bore the cross, counted no privilege, grieved no loss. The King who came when no one called, Jesus the servant of all.
Jesus returned to the table. He took bread, offered a blessing, broke it, and distributed it to all of us.
Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
We ate in solemn silence. Then Jesus raised a cup of wine.
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins.
We drank, still not fully understanding. The mood had grown increasingly somber. Jesus' expression became troubled.
Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.
We looked at each other in shock and dismay.
Lord, is it I?
Surely not I, Rabbi.
Who would do such a thing?
Ask him which one of us he means.
Lord, who is it?
It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish.
Jesus dipped the bread and gave it to Judas. Their eyes met for a moment of tension.
What you are about to do, do quickly.
Judas rose abruptly and walked out. We didn't realize what was going on, assuming he had gone on an errand.
Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him.
My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine, if you love one another.
Lord, where are you going?
Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.
Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.
Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. A new commandment for a new covenant, a new way to live, a new way to love. By this the world will know you are mine, when you love one another. Love that serves, love that gives, love that lays down its life for friends. This is the pattern I leave with you. Love one another. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father. From now on you do know him and have seen him. A new commandment, a new
Jesus embraced each disciple in turn. When he got to me, he lingered.
Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let us go from here. The night is advancing, and what is written about me must be fulfilled.
The foot washing, the bread and wine, the prediction of betrayal, these sacred moments burned themselves into my memory. But what I remember most was the command to love one another as he had loved us. Only later, at the foot of the cross, would I see how completely he embodied his own teaching. That night, we followed him out into the darkness, toward the Garden of Gethsemane, toward his betrayal, toward the culmination of everything he had prepared us for, though we still didn't understand. Jesus was quiet as he entered Gethsemane. He often came here to pray. The weight of what was coming seemed to press upon him more heavily with each step.
"Sit here while I go over there to pray."
Jesus gestured to Peter, James, and me.
"Come with me a little farther."
We followed Jesus to a more secluded part of the garden. His face showed deep distress.
"My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me."
To be continued.